Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. All right, God bless. Good to see you all. Yeah, amen, amen. Well, we're going to take our Bibles this morning, go to Ephesians chapter 6, a familiar spot. Actually, Jan wrote an entire book about this little section of the Bible. Do you know that? The armor of God. We've got a lot of things that have already been given to us, guys. We are fully prepared. We are ready and able and capable of getting into whatever competition presents itself. Like Bob's article he wrote. Maybe you got it via email. It's called Walking in the Storm, right, Bob?
Yep.
Yeah. We don't wait until everything's just hunky-dory, peaceful, and then get involved, because at that point you won't feel like getting involved. You're probably already engaged in some type of battle of some type. But now's the time. Now's the time. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6. Now I'm going to use a little example here this morning about being fully prepared. And I've asked George Evans, he's going to help me out here this morning. We brought a little prop, so we're going to have a little bit of fun out here in the park. We get plenty of teachings, it seems like, during the week, don't we? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 6. You guys probably have all this memorized. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power. Power. And you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Spirit has come upon you. Not the spirit of weakness, not the spirit of fear, not the spirit of being intimidated, but the spirit of power. Power. That we can stand in the power of His might, and we put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methodology, the tactics of the enemy. The devil thinks he's smart, but he's not. He's stupid. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's ugly. He hides behind something that makes himself look pretty. Remember, he was disguised as the angel of what? Light. He knows what attracts people, what deceives people, what people are drawn to. And so you know what? He sets people up. He puts those things that people are prone to be tempted by right in front of them to see how they respond. See? He's smart in that way. See? But his tactics really haven't changed. He's just adapted to the culture of the times. We say, oh, it's so difficult and dark politically. You have any idea what it was like in the first century? What was going on politically? It was dark, guys. There was a lot going on. See? So why exalt the darkness? Let's shine as light. Let's put on the whole armor of God. Let's stand. Right? We're fully prepared. Come up here, George. Hey, welcome, George Evans. Amen, amen, amen. Look at that hat. He's blessed. Bless you, brother. You know what? Believe it or not, look at what we brought here. This is the set of golf clubs. Now, for those of you on the conference call, you'll just have to visualize this. But, you know, you got to kind of look at golf clubs as like weapons, all right, just in a different context. But there's also other things that go along with this particular sport. He's holding a glove right there in his hand. So that's something that you have to be able to utilize. You don't have to, but you're going to play at your very best when you use a golf glove. It keeps your hands from slipping, right? And then inside this bag right here, as you can see, he's pretty prepared, right? But he hasn't, he just didn't miraculously show up here this morning and these things just appeared in his car, right? He had to take some type of action to be prepared. He had to go to the store, try the shoes on. He had to make himself knowledgeable about what type of shoes there are, what purpose are, do those shoes serve. So he's got a glove, he's got clubs, he's got different types of clubs in there, that's for sure. And then in that little zipper pouch down there, he's got some other things too that become pretty critical when you're playing the game of golf. Right? Can anybody imagine what that might be?
Golf balls.
Golf balls. Golf balls. You know, here we see I don't. This one's made by Callaway, but I don't know the amount of money that it took to develop this golf ball. Anyone like to speculate? $5? $10? $50? $50,000? About millions. Millions, probably multi-millions of dollars to develop the particulars of this particular golf ball so that it goes the furthest and lasts the longest. Right, George? Oh, and what do we have here, George?
That is a tee.
That is a golf tee. And there's all sorts of different varieties of golf tees, but you know what? It's so cool. This is a perfect example of the armaments that we, make the connection, guys, the armaments that we have been enabled with. Just think, 9 manifestations. I don't know how many clubs are in there, but 9 manifestations, the armor of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that we have been given so freely. So you all know, maybe you've never played golf, maybe you've never seen golf being played, but you put this ball on this tee, and you put it in the ground, and you try to hit it. Is that right, George?
Right.
All right. He's got something else here, too. What is that?
Mark it so we know that it's ours.
Oh, he likes to mark his ball. Most people do. That's a colored pen, green, and he puts dollar signs on his. Now, I don't know the significance of that, okay, but it definitely signifies that that's his ball. Because out on the golf course, there's many balls, and sometimes you don't know what's what. But I'm going to have him, I won't have him hit the ball, but I'm going to have him put the ball in the ground on the tee, and then take a club, George, of your choosing. We'll see if we can hit one of those boats over there. No, we won't do that. I have a feeling George could probably hit one of those boats over there, right? Bless his heart. Yeah, so he's got all of these things that then enable him to play. Now, whether he plays well or not, that's another type of situation. But, you know, when you're playing golf, and you can see he's a very athletic young man, and he's got a very nice swing. The grip on the club is very important. His stance, as he approaches, or what we call address the ball, is very important. His swing, his backswing, his connection with the ball, his follow through, all these things enable him to play the game of golf, hopefully at a good level. Right, George? Exactly. But one thing that's very critical when you're playing the game of golf, any other game, is he's got that ball on that tee. But if he swings at that ball and takes his eyes off of it, guess what he's going to do? He's going to whiff it. He's going to miss it completely. Give us a whiff, George. Yeah. See, you took your eyes off the ball because now you're looking to see where it's going to go. This is so critical in baseball, too, right?
Right.
Great baseball players can pick up the pitch right out of the pitcher's hand. I don't know how they do that because that ball's coming. And the spin on it, and the type of pitch that it is. Great key. Keep your eyes on the ball. How about for us? Keeping our eyes on the Lord. Keeping our eyes on God. Keeping the things of God at the forefront of our mind, right? So we can be able to be victorious. Thank you, George. To stand. For everyone on the call, that's an airplane going over. He didn't even hear me. But this is our challenge. Day by day, the moment you get up, where does your mind go? You know, some days are better than others. Because the tendency is sometimes to evaluate how you feel. And then you might make certain either nonverbal or verbal confessions. And that begins to really solidify a lot of what then goes on throughout the day. We've all been there. You all know what I'm talking about. But the point is, guys, keep your eyes on the ball. Eyes on the ball. Eyes on the Lord. We're fully prepared. We've been given everything. Philippians 4:13. Remember that one, congregation? I can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens me. Christ who infuses inner strength into me. We've talked about the pickling solution. You put a cucumber in a solution and it comes out a pickle. Okay? You can't take that out of the pickle and make it back into a cucumber. The entire character of that cucumber has been changed. When we got born again, it was Christ that was infused right in you. You can't take Christ in you out. He's in there. He's in there. And God is constantly encouraging us and exhorting us and working with us and even sometimes begging us to rise up to that full potential that we have in Christ. And sometimes I think we make it so difficult. It's not difficult. I used to make this cheer at Point Loma. I am what the Word of God says I am. How about you say that in the morning? Well, I feel a whole bad. I feel tired. I feel this. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I will be what the Word of God says I will be. That's the true confession of the Word. I can do all things through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. Do I feel like it? Many times, no. But I can work with myself because I keep my eye on the ball. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Driving down here, that's already in the past. Forget about it. You're in the moment. You're here. You're now. The transformation is occurring as you're allowing God's Word to edify you, strengthen you, and transform you, right? George didn't wake up one day and become a good golfer. You know what? He's invested time. He's invested energy. He's invested money. He's invested discipline. He's studied the game of golf like all of you have in your particular field of expertise. See, you just didn't wake up one day like, I can go on the pro tour tomorrow. I know I'm that good. And I've never, ever even picked up a golf club. Now that really would be foolish, right? Anybody who's any good at anything has done it consistently, time and time and time again. You say, Barney, running a meeting, you look make it look so easy. I can't even tell you the thousands and thousands of meetings I have probably run in the course of my life over the last who knows how long. But it's because I have had the desire to excel. And God has that desire for us too. Seek that you may excel, right? 1 Corinthians 14, to the edifying of the church. That's a good thing to keep your eye on. How many things could you pick out? You don't have to pick them all out. How about you just pick out one thing this week? You keep your eye on the ball. Seek to the edifying of the church. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. Let your words be seasoned that you may produce edification. That's not verbatim. How about not being anxious? How about being peaceful? I'm going to make up my mind today. You see, we're talking, yes, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, but all these things are really realities that have already been accomplished and done. The exhortation is to put on the old armor. It doesn't say go out and get it. It's already been given. It's already been given in the spiritual package of Christ in you. Christ in you. See? You don't have to pray to God for peace. You've got peace. You've got righteousness. You've got sanctification, just and a thousand other things with shorter titles, shorter words. How about just keeping your eye on the ball about one thing? What's the greatest thing you have that you're trying to acquire, let's say, in your life? Is it peace? Is it, I don't know, fill in the blank. Not to condemn yourself, not to, feel like you're worthy, to feel like somebody loves you, somebody feels that you have a place, not only in the body of Christ, but in this world. Your life is so valuable, but the devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's working overtime right now to tell people that they are worthless, that their lives mean nothing, they have nothing to contribute. That's not the ball you want to be lining yourself up to. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. Look what it goes on to say in Ephesians. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, but look at all these things that are going on out here. You mean there's something greater going on behind the scenes? Oh, yes, there is. Now, I'm not going to explain all the details of everything that it's very simple. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all what? Stand. You stand in the right and proper place, addressing the ball, so that when you strike the ball, you get a good hit. It just doesn't dribble off the tee 2 feet. You know what happened? You took your eyes off the ball. People get in a hurry. They try to hurry up. They try to kill the ball. They try to make it happen. But if you, it's funny, in games, many times, one of the great keys is to relax and slow down. In the game of golf, it's no different. You relax, you slow down, you get confident in striking the ball consistently, and then all of the other attributes of the game begin to fall into place. I believe that there are some great similarities in the spiritual walk. We try so hard to do it all ourselves. So I say, take the Sabbath rest, take the rest, and allow God to work with you and to show you some very instrumental ways to apply his wonderful word so you can really stand and be who you want to be. Okay? Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded by truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace, shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of wicked. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. Man, we could just line up golf gloves and hats and shoes and everything else right along with this. But these are all things that have been given to you in the new birth. But one of the greatest reality is we're in a spiritual battle. But we're not coming from a place of victim to victory. We're coming from a place of victory. We've already won in Christ. Well, I don't feel like I've won, Barney. Well, you know what? Your feelings are not trustworthy. And one great analogy was, if you won the lottery, you'd be, oh my God, my problems are over. And then the next day, someone called and said, you didn't win it. You know what? He's just going like this all the time. And that's many times what it's like in the life of a believer who's not really fully engaged in who he is as a son or a daughter of God. Because it's always based on circumstances and situations and how I feel and how I don't feel and what's going on with me emotionally and blah, 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 blah. And I compare myself. Not just steady. How about this? Keep your eye on the ball. Keep God in the center of all of this. Look at, the ball's on the tee. It's got the capability of doing many things. And if you've ever watched professional golf, a lot of those guys can do some pretty amazing things. But now it's me behind the ball. It's also behind the ball. You know what? But it's Jesus Christ within us that enables us to function at such a high level it goes far beyond being Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus. You are successful and victorious because who you have been made to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I can do it all. But not me. I can do it all through Christ. Through Christ who infuses inner strength into me. I'm no longer just a cucumber. I'm a pickle. I'm a full-blown pickle. See? Because I've been infused with the nature of Christ. Christ. Amen? So you are prepared. You can achieve far, far beyond what you're thinking. Where's your mind at? Because you're in the driver's seat. What do you see when you think about yourself? So some good things to leave you with. I'm not encouraging you all to go play golf. But the analogy is just so great. Thank you, George, for helping out here this morning. And God bless.